Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleaned of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Did I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has helped you, has healed you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you and you who belong to Christ Jesus." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing and understanding of his word.
For the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about gratitude and thanksgiving. Now, typically, we only talk about this theme as in November as we approach Thanksgiving holiday. And in our culture today, I think in many ways, Thanksgiving has come to be associated with indulgence, excess, and entitlement rather than Thanksgiving. Because think about what we do on that extended weekend. We binge on food. If you love football, then you binge on watching football all day Thursday. And then it's associated with shopping for Christmas and spending money on things that most of us don't really need. The Friday after, we call it Black Friday. And all that's changed now because Black Friday now even starts in October with stores. You know, and it used to be that that day was the biggest shopping day of the year. Everybody went out and looking for the best deals of the year. Kids began to talk about the toys and entertainment and the things they want, which are the newest and latest fads. And as adults, we weren't far behind. I mean, you know, and we talk about Thanksgiving. When we talk about Thanksgiving in such a setting, it really becomes more of an obligation than a way of life and actually minimizes, I think, the importance of gratitude and thanksgiving because it doesn't match to the weekend and how we celebrate it now. And in many ways, we do live in our world today in a culture of entitlement. For the most part, we want everything now and we think that we deserve it. You know, I think back to my parents' generation. And they didn't expect to own everything or to have the best of the brightest early on in their lives. You know, they just kind of worked and saved. And as they got older, they bought things as they could afford them. I remember my parents, they bought their first new car in their 50s. And they were like little kids, you know. But it was in their 50s. Prior to that, it was all used cars because that's what they could afford. And that's how they lived. They lived within their means. And, you know, today, young people and couples, there's a sense, and you see it all over, that they want everything to start with right away. You know, I love to watch the HGTV shows, and the more I watch them, the less I'm sure that it's a good thing to always watch. Because what I see happening all the time is, you know, the young couples and singles buying their first home, they want everything in it. And then the hosts, the ones who are designing it and building and remodeling it, one of the phrases that I hear them say often, time and time again, is, "You deserve this." Really? What about the people in the rest of the world? Don't they deserve it too? And this notion of saying, "You deserve it," is really a statement of entitlement. That somehow we think that we deserve everything right now. And we're entitled to it. And a culture of entitlement undermines really any attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. We're less and less thankful. We demand more and more, and that leads to complaining when it doesn't come. And that's the opposite of gratitude. Well, the irony in all of this is, you know, if you do some internet research, go home and sit on a computer on the importance of gratitude and thanksgiving, you will quickly realize that pop psychology, many academic institutions have conducted hundreds of studies demonstrating that gratitude is an attitude that is foundationally to a healthy and whole life. Psychology, psychiatry, all point to the same thing. It's essential to a sense of well-being. You know, and all our pop psychology today supports a biblical truth that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. You know, a Benedict monk, Brother David Steindl Rast, gained wide notoriety in 2013 on a podcast, and he wrote this. He said this, "We're not grateful because we are happy. We are happy because we are grateful." Lewis Smedes, a well-known theologian and author, a Presbyterian pastor who passed away in 2022, he wrote on this subject saying this, "I have never met a grateful person who was an unhappy person. And for that matter, I've never met a grateful person who was a bad person." Think about that. You know, this notion of thanksgiving and gratitude is not an easy topic for me to talk about because I, by nature, am not a naturally thankful person. I said this before, I tend to be a kind of glass half empty kind of person. I always see the problems. I always see the issues, you know, rather than seeing the good things. So like, you know, I love to build and renovate and do things like that. And so when I do something at home or renovate something at home, my response is always to see the mistakes and the shortcomings of what I do, rather than overall to stop and see what I did and appreciate what I did, which most other people, especially pastors, don't know how to do. But I've come to slowly recognize, as I've lived longer, that gratitude is really important for everyone, and especially for those who claim to follow Christ Jesus. You know, the author of those two quotes I just read are pointing us to a key biblical truth, and that truth is this. Gratitude is God's will for us as followers of Jesus. Gratitude is God's will for us as followers of Jesus. Just like the Ten Commandments, it says, honor the Lord, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery. Gratitude is very much part of God's will for our lives. It's much more than just a good thing. It's ultimately essential to the quality of our lives. And what Scripture is going to tell us is that gratitude should be an outcome of genuine discipleship, a response to understanding to what God has done in our lives for us through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 15, which Barbara read just a moment ago, this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." What he's saying is God's will is that we would be gracious and thankful people. Now, Paul links joy, prayer, and thanksgiving together there. They're all connected. If you read the Psalms, which are really prayers of the authors, you'll find that they are laced with thanksgiving. In the New Testament, if you read Paul's prayers, you'll see that he's always including thanksgiving as an essential part of his prayer. And in his letters to the church, he's constantly reminding and encouraging the churches when they pray to include thanksgiving. Now, I had a video that was going to go to this, but this morning I realized that it was in the wrong format to put into PowerPoint, so I couldn't get it switched. I'll share it with you next week. But listen to some of Paul's comments about prayer and thanksgiving. To the church at Colossae, he wrote, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." To the church at Ephesus, Paul wrote, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Basically, what we're being told in Scriptures is that thanksgiving is an essential part of discipleship, of being a follower of Jesus. Now, why is that? Well, I think probably most of you know the answer to that. If we genuinely understand who God is and what he's done for us in Jesus, gratitude should be a natural response. First of all, God's the creator of the world. He created it in order to provide for us and to meet our needs. He delights in meeting our needs. And we like to think that, as humans, that everything we have belongs to us because we earned it. But the reality is that it all belongs to God, and he graciously gives us everything we need to live and enjoy life. And that's the theology behind the idea of stewardship. We're stewards of what God has given us. And that should provoke gratefulness. But if we think that we own everything, have earned it, and are entitled to everything we have, that undermines the whole idea of thankfulness. And then reflect on what we talked about the last 2 weeks on Palm Sunday and Easter, the heart of the gospel. You know, we looked at the last day of Jesus' life, his betrayal, his abandonment, his arrest, the trial, the beatings, the humiliation, the crucifixion. We're meant to see that if we had been there, we would have all done the same thing. We're all broken. In that sense, none of us deserve what Jesus did for us. And if we understand that, then the only appropriate response, again, is what? Love and gratitude for what Jesus went through for us so that we might be forgiven and welcomed into God's family. We see the gospel as the greatest gift we'll ever get. But if we only see ourselves as a good person, we'll think that we deserve everything we have and we'll complain when things don't go right. We'll feel entitled, and that will undermine any deep sense of gratitude to God. So ask yourself this question. Time for a little reflection. When you pray and talk with God, how much time do you spend thanking God for who he is and what he's done for you? When you're all alone, when you're during the week, going in and you talk to God, how much time do you spend thanking him? Are you always giving thanks, as Paul challenged the Ephesians to do in their prayers and conversations? Or is most of your conversation spent asking God for things, or even if it's not about you, it's for other people? Gratitude is meant to be a defining characteristic of someone who follows Jesus. It's indicative of a genuine understanding and response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gratitude is God's will for us as followers of Jesus. And furthermore, gratitude brings physical, emotional, and social well-being to our lives. There's this practical aspect that we need to understand. And this is where we pick up the story of Luke. It tells us in chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. You know, in our scripture reading, Jesus was leaving Galilee and heading towards Jerusalem for the final time. Now, I've said this before, but it was the norm for most Jews traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem to avoid Samaria altogether. They would cross the Jordan River to go to the east of the Jordan River, walk down south, and cross back over to go to Jerusalem. So they would bypass the Samaritan territory. Samaria, in Jesus' day, embraces the territory today that we know as the West Bank. The West Bank within Israel. And there was great animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, just as there's great animosity today between the Jews and those that live in the West Bank. But that animosity goes back to 722 BC, when the Assyrians captured the northern kingdoms of Israel, the northern 10 tribes. And what they did was they completely carted off all the important people and many of the Jews and brought them to different parts of their empire and land. They took them out of the area. And those 10 tribes of Israel became known as the Lost 10 Tribes of Israel. The only two tribes left were in the south, Judah and Benjamin. And so what happened is, as they carted out the Jews into the various lands, they imported other peoples into the same lands. And so what happened is the Jews who remained in the lands began to intermarry with the new inhabitants that were coming into the land. And what happened? You know, multiracial half-breeds. You know, in most of history, I think back even in America, going back into the 60s and 50s before, you didn't see biracial couples very often. And biracial kids struggled in life. Thankfully, that's changed. That's one of the good changes that's happened in our culture. You see that all the time now. But, you know, for them, the Jews were not supposed to marry anybody else who wasn't Jewish. So the Samaritans, in a Jew's eyes, were half-breeds, and they looked down on the Samaritans, and there was a great animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. And the Samaritans didn't worship in Jerusalem. They built their own temple in Mount Gerizim, where they would go to worship. So there was no love between Jew and Samaritan. But Jesus chooses to walk through Samaria, as he did all through his ministry, and he enters on the outskirts of a Samaritan village, and there he encounters 10 men with leprosy. Now, in the Old Testament, in Jesus' day, leprosy included any kind of skin disease or disorder. It would include psoriasis, anything like that. It wasn't just what we know as Hansen's disease today, but it was any kind of skin disorder. And by the Mosaic law, anybody who had that kind of skin disease was quarantined. Now, I want you to think about something here. 3,500 years ago, the Mosaic law was given, and it built into it the notion of quarantine to spare people. That is far away in advance of any culture in the history of this world that would quarantine. The West, you know, when's the last time we quarantined in the West? COVID. And how long later is that? God knew something in the Mosaic law. He had them quarantined to limit the impact of that disease long before anybody ever thought about it medically. That is part of the truth that is inherent in Scripture, because it originated in the heart of God. Well, anyway, you know, they were considered unclean, and so by Mosaic law, they had to live outside the village. And they gathered in communities with this skin disease, and it didn't matter whether they were Samaritans or Jews, all those things kind of disappeared because they had to survive. They were dependent on people leaving food for them, begging in ways. And if they came upon a group of people, the lepers were supposed to call out, unclean, unclean, by Mosaic law in Leviticus, to warn people to stay away so that they wouldn't be exposed. And so, you know, these 10 lepers banded together. There were Jews and there was a Samaritan in them. And they had obviously heard about Jesus. So when they see him entering this village, they don't approach him. They keep their distance and they cry out for help, asking for mercy. And Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, according to Mosaic law, they could only re-enter society when they were inspected by the priest, and the priest declared them to be clean. Now, they weren't healed right away, Scripture tells us. They begin to walk to go to the priest before they were healed, and as they walk, they're healed. So they exercise some faith by going, and along the way, they're healed. But when they are healed, only one of them, the Samaritan, returns to thank Jesus. And by implication, the other 9 were Jews who didn't return to thank Jesus. The other 9 kept going to see the priest. What were they thinking about? Well, I think we can probably gather. They were caught up in thinking about themselves. They could return to their families, their lives in the village, their loved ones. They were thinking about the future, what they would do. They were excited now, free of the disease. And, you know, all the grief that had come along with it. And those are natural feelings. But what were they? They were caught up in their own lives and failed to show any gratitude. You know, entitlement, selfishness, being totally wrapped up in your own life completely undermines gratitude. The lone Samaritan returns and boldly praises and thanks God and bows at Jesus' feet. No doubt he probably at that point was touching Jesus' feet, even though he hadn't been officially declared clean by a priest. And Jesus responds and says, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? You know, now notice here, Jesus is identifying himself as God. You know, this is one of the few places where he responds. So he responds to this Samaritan. And in point of fact, the only places in Scripture where Jesus himself reveals himself as God, as the Son of God, it's usually the foreigners, it's not the Jews. The Samaritan woman at the well. Here, he's saying, you know, I'm God. And you're giving thanks. And so it's a theme of his ministry that God is especially interested in the poor, the marginalized, the outcast, everyone who's not Jewish in that day. And so Jesus says to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, some translations will say that their faith has saved them. What's the difference between a Samaritan who returned and the 9 who didn't return? All were healed physically. But the clear implication is that a much broader healing had taken place for the Samaritan. Recognizing with his healing as a gift from God, a sense of gratefulness, you know, there's probably a sense in which he really entered into a relationship to God through Jesus at this point. There's a spiritual, emotional, and mental healing that takes place. The new relationship with God begins. His changing his thinking. Instead of seeing himself as an outcast, he sees himself as someone loved and important. you know, his anger perhaps at God or those who turned their backs on him when they had this disease. There's probably a new sense of forgiveness and a willingness to move beyond. We could go on. He's better prepared to enter back into society without the baggage and the hurt or the pain. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And this is where modern science and psychology confirms this truth. Go home and do a little bit of research on the internet and read about the benefits of being grateful. A 2015 article in the magazine Psychology Today summarizes much of the research that had been done. It talks about grateful people experience fewer aches and pains and are more likely to care for their health than ungrateful people. Gratitude inhibits a multitude of toxic emotions like envy, resentment, frustration, regret. Gratitude tends to reduce depression and promote a feeling of happiness. People who are more grateful are less likely to be aggressive with other people or seek to retaliate. Gratitude may play a major role in overcoming trauma, helping a person to show greater resilience in the face of difficulties. Studies show that grateful people sleep better. Now, probably some of you know this by experience. You know, what happens when you try to go to sleep and you're worried about a lot of things and you're thinking about all these things that will happen? You don't go to sleep. Well, studies say when you go to bed, if you just take a few moments to thank God for two or three things for the day, that you go to sleep faster, that you'll sleep better, and you'll sleep longer. That's not something out of the Bible. That's something out of modern psychology and science and research saying gratitude infects, it impacts our health in a major way. You know, when I married a couple, I would always give them an inventory that would take a snapshot of where the relationship was at the moment in 10 different areas. And the research of this organization over hundreds of thousands of marriages over the last 3 or 4 decades tells us that the major causes of divorce are first, communication, second, finances, and third, feeling unappreciated. Now, feeling unappreciated is related to communication. You don't say thank you a lot. You don't appreciate what the other person does. Statistics, you know, completely tell us that couples who live together before marriage have a higher slightly divorce rate than people who don't. It's consistent all the way through. Not a lot higher, but slightly higher. Why is that? Well, when you're living together and you're not married, you realize the other person can just walk out whenever they want. So you work a little harder at it. And the interviews reveal this, that when once they get married, there's a sense of, oh, well, we're set. No one's going anywhere. And you begin to take the marriage for granted, and you don't say thank you as much. You don't work at it hard as much. And people begin to say, what happened? We got married. Oh. You know? Gratitude, gratefulness builds healthy and longer-lasting relationships. Gratitudes bring physical, emotional, and social healing to our lives. Scriptures make very clear that gratitude is a foundation and then for true happiness. Let me repeat that quote of the Benedictine monk, Father David Steindl Rass. He said this, we're not grateful because we are happy, we're happy because we are grateful. Now, that perhaps most directly sums up, I think, biblical teaching about gratefulness. Happy here does not mean that the circumstances in our life are good or everything that we want. Happiness refers to a state of well-being and peace of mind no matter what the circumstances around you are. We'll talk more about that next week. And I just want to quickly highlight a couple of things about this. Scripture directly links gratitude and thanksgiving with contentment and peace. Paul writes in Colossians 3:15-17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 3 times Paul talks about thankfulness as being foundational to peace of mind and heart. He's talking about us expressing our thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God, no matter what is going on, is the ultimate expression of faith. We look back, we see all the things that God has done for us in our lives. And then we look back and we see the cross and what Jesus did for us there. And we see all the ways that God met us and led us. And so when we thank God in the present, we're telling God that we're trusting Him with our future. And God's response to that is to wrap our minds and our hearts in His Spirit, bringing us a sense of peace and well-being to our mind and heart, despite what is going on around us. The very verses that I memorized as a new believer speak about the same truth. And I come back to these verses all the time. These are some of the most common verses I share with other people because they're one of the most important truths for successful living in this world today. Be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying. But in everything by prayer and supplication, talking to God, letting your requests be made known, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving, gratitude, is absolutely linked to finding the peace of God in this life. So again, I ask you the question, when you talk to God during the week, whenever, are you spending time thanking Him for all that He has done? Is gratitude an integral part of your conversation with God? And gratitude is more than, is intimately linked to another area, and I'll just share that, generosity. You know, Paul quotes in Acts when he reports that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He says, we find greater joy and happiness in life when we give to others and are generous in how we live life. And you think about this, this goes back to the two great commandments. If we understand what God has done for us, we'll be thankful and love Him with a passion with all our strength, mind, heart, and soul. And we're going to want others to share with others what God has done for us. We'll want to love our neighbors as ourselves. We'll want to share with what God has done. We'll want to, you know, God has been so generous with us that we'll want to be generous in loving and helping other people. The two are linked. And so, it's often been a tradition, oftentimes in many churches, to talk about giving only when it comes time to preparing the church budget. Guess what that does? That undermines generosity because it makes giving an obligation. When giving is an obligation, it completely undermines the notion of generosity. Now, in my 30-plus years of ministry, there's a lot of things I needed to learn, but one thing I learned from the very beginning was I am never going to give a sermon on giving when it relates to the church budget or Pledge Sunday. Some people in my Revere church got really mad at me. I just said, I'm not going to do it. I said, if you want to do it, okay, you chairman of the trustees, you get up and give the sermon. You give up and give the talk. I'm not doing it. Because it undermines the whole purpose. It makes giving an obligation. And so it ruins everything. When we talk about giving in the context of stewardship and discipleship, as a response to God's love and generosity to us, giving always begins to increase. And that's been my experience everywhere. When we talk about giving in the context of a response to God's love and discipleship, people then begin to give more. Because it's a way of saying thank you to God. Generosity that is not rooted in self-interest and self-promotion, but rooted in thankfulness to God, always brings a sense of wholeness and well-being to our lives. So, you know, there are some people that teach if you give, you get. Well, that's self-interest. That's not the gospel. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth as he's raising monies to help the poor and struggling believers in Jerusalem who experience a great famine. He says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So Paul is telling the believers in Corinth that God has blessed their lives in so many ways, he's been so generous with them that they'll want to help others, and their generosity will cause other people to give thanks to God. But then he goes on to say that when we are generous to others, It is in fact a way of showing our gratitude to God for all that he has done. But when we're stingy with others, we're in effect saying, God, you haven't done much for me. Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, when we are generous with others, it in effect is a way of thanking God for all that he has done. But it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see the importance of gratitude as followers of Jesus? It's kind of fundamental to our faith. First, gratitude is God's will for our lives as followers of Jesus. He created us, and he knows that we find the greatest joy in life when we're thankful. Second, gratitude brings physical, emotional, social healing to our lives. You know, this is not just a truth of Scripture, but it's the truth of our modern world of science and psychology. And finally, Scripture clearly tells us that gratitude is the foundation for true happiness. Now, so how do we develop that habit of thankfulness? I want to suggest a couple things to you. You know, we need to root the truth of 2 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 in our hearts and minds. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Val and Barbara are going to get up and distribute something to you here. It's a card. It's that verse on it. I encourage you to put it somewhere where you see it. Memorize it. Take it in. And then they're also passing out to this little booklet, a little homemade booklet that we made, because what I found in all the surveys is that whenever a person, and they give comparison groups, a group that they ask to write down something they're thankful for every day over a period of time, and then they would evaluate them at the end, and they would say, they would see the difference in their outlook in life. And so this little booklet is set up for 3 weeks. It encourages you just to, every night at night, before you go to sleep or sometime in the evening, pause a moment and sit down and write three things that you're thankful for that day. Three things. Now, part of the reason I did 3 weeks is because I know it takes 21 days to establish a new habit. Okay? So you got 21 days right here. You do 21 days, consecutive days, you're going to find that it begins to become part of your routine in life. So I'd encourage you to take that home and begin to do that, because we will help root that into our lives. Write those things down before you go to bed at some point. Just and at the end of 21 days, I hope you'll reflect back and say, my attitude any different? I notice any other differences in my life? God wants us to be thankful as his people, and it impacts our lives. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for who you are. You are the author of life, and you know everything about us. You know who we are. You know all the things that take place in our life. And I know, Father, that you're not asking us to be thankful because for the difficulties we face in life. You're asking us to be thankful because we know that you love us and you're always there. And in Jesus Christ, we are a member of your family, and you're never going to let us go. You're always going to be there. You're going to be walking with us, guiding us, protecting us, leading us, meeting our needs. We can always talk to you. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and giving us this access and this relationship to you. Thank you for the life that you have given to us. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.